They're going to go for it on fourth down on their own 25-yard line. Here's the game. Maybe the season for each team. Dak in the gun, three left. Ferguson, the tight end, right. CD, four are left, including CD. Dak chased out of there by Leonard Floyd. Throws down the right sideline. Incomplete. The Niners take over on downs.
Thank you, 49ers Radio. Yes, one season ended last night. It was not the 49ers. They come away victorious, Perloff. Stop me if you've heard that one before. The 49ers beat the Cowboys. This one a little closer than in years past. The final score 30-24. But the Cowboys season effectively ended yesterday, did it not?
What? No, definitely not.
Oh, boy. Why? It did.
What did it?
Because they got back into this game last night after they basically no-showed the entire third quarter and allowed the 49ers to score three touchdowns in the quarter. They use what you always love to say, the prevent defense, the prevent that the 49ers basically took a little too seriously. Cowboys get back into the game, but ultimately couldn't win it. I know Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence are going to be coming back at some point, but honestly, what makes you think the Cowboys are about to, you know, rip off this tear and go on this hot streak?
Because they're going to beat the Commanders and they're going to beat the Eagles.
By the way, you think that? The Eagles have won three in a row. They're ascending. The Commanders had the all-time game of all games. If you want a team that could ride some vibes and some momentum, you're not going to get a bigger moment than what the Commanders had yesterday. Meanwhile, the Cowboys fall short. When they get the ball back with 3 minutes left to go, they're down a score. Mm-hmm. That first throw that Dak makes on that final drive for the Cowboys should have been intercepted by three different people. That was terrible. Then the looking for Jake Ferguson on second down throws it out of bounds. Then Devontae Turpin can't haul in a catch.
Yeah, they hit him in the hands. What was wrong with that?
Okay. Couldn't come through.
Yeah.
And then that Jalen Brooks on fourth down.
Yeah, he got
hoping
murdered.
For a DPI. You're not getting it in
Why
that spot.
You got this Sunday was full of weak DPI calls. There was one earlier in the game that was half the amount of contact. They easily could have gotten that call. Why
terrible
not?
Terrible strategy.
Wasn't a strategy. I mean, they were trying to throw it to him, but it definitely could have been DPI on the guy in the back. Just ran right into him, not the guy in the front who tripped feet with him. You easily could get a defensive pass interference. There were weaker calls. There was one on, I think, Lenore or somebody, number seven on the Niners, they barely touched the guy, and they threw a flag earlier.
Yeah, Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward. I hated that final drive from the Cowboys. Absolutely despised that final drive. You're going for the home run plays and trying to get the DPI. Get a first down. You have 3 minutes, and you burned your timeouts. Yeah, on the plus side of the two-minute warning, but you still had the two-minute warning. I just didn't understand why they were going for it on all like these big explosive plays when the only explosive plays that had actually been working for you all game long were just wide-open touchdowns to CeeDee Lamb that was broken coverage by the 49ers when they were playing prevent anyway.
You understand they were at San Francisco, right?
I do.
So you understand how much easier it is going to be for the Cowboys against any other team in the NFL? Like, 250 yards of Cowboy passing against San Francisco equals 450 against the Eagles. This is the game they always get blown out in. So this is, first of all, they got blown out last year. Blown out.
Right.
And then went on a massive run because they started to play the NFC East. That's their jam. They will totally beat mediocre teams.
But are they beating mediocre teams this year?
I think they can.
Well, when are they going to start? Because it's November now.
Well, they beat.
This isn't the extended preseason that we're, you know, used to. Oh, the first, you know, couple games, you're still getting used to stuff. No. And by the way, where's the big offensive weapon that's coming back? Not happening. You have Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. I watched those guys on the field last year against the 49ers. They got blown out. So, you know, none of the big question marks for the Cowboys have been answered, solved, anything. And Dak's bad interception, where D'Amador Lenore did intercept that one, that second interception of the game, not tipped, not bobbled, not receiver ran the wrong route, bad throw.
And yeah, I mean,
he's got to wear that.
You throw the ball with that. Nick Bosa running around like unblocked the entire game, basically unblocked because Terrence Steele is a free run. They had no idea for the first half. They're basically letting a lot of pressure come in on Dak and saying, please save us.
Then you should be mad at Mike McCarthy.
Because there's no mad.
Nick Bosa has been around for a while.
Well, listen.
We know where he's going to be. Nick Bosa. He's not sneaking up on people.
So you're basically saying there are no acceptable losses for a team like the Cowboys who's hoping to sneak in a somewhat weakened division.
I'm just saying I think their season, as far as the playoffs is concerned, is done. And to be fair, I didn't pick them to go to the playoffs anyway. I just don't see this massive run getting ripped off here. You're going to go to the Falcons. You're going to play the Eagles, the Texans, at the Commanders.
None of those teams scare me.
Okay.
First of all,
you're not seeing the Eagles the way that everyone else is now seeing them after a big win in Cincinnati yesterday.
Don't you feel like the Eagles and Cowboys are going to split?
Maybe. Do you think they're going to win in Atlanta?
I think they have a great chance at Atlanta.
Okay, but that's a chance. They're not going to be favored in that game.
Yeah, but they're going to be, a 2-point dog? Honestly, is Atlanta really blown you away?
Well, they probably just wrapped up the division yesterday because they beat the Tampa Bay Bucs twice. So, yeah, I think they probably, Tampa Bay might be the better team. I don't know, but Atlanta's a factor.
Atlanta, did they get blown out by a Seahawks team that barely showed up against your Bills last night?
The Seahawks are up and down. I don't know what to do with the Seahawks. I really don't. But it's probably good news for the 49ers.
They lost 34-14 to the Seahawks in Atlanta. Like, they have no idea. I just think the NFC is way more wide open than you do. Like, we've learned some things going to midseason, but yeah. I think there's one dominant team, and then there is a bunch of flawed teams. A bunch.
Oh, I will definitely agree with you on that, but if I'm looking at one of those flawed teams, at the top of the list is the Cowboys. So I don't know what makes you think that all of a sudden now they're going to start to turn it around. Dak's throwing more interceptions, 8 interceptions this season. He had 9 all of last season. You have, the on-the-field stuff where Jerry Jones criticizing the play design and the play scheme. And yesterday, to be fair, they did get back into the game, but I think that was a little more about San Francisco taking that prevent defense a little bit too far. And ultimately, when the game was on the line, unlike what was able to happen in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, different game, different opponent, you come up with 4 plays that I didn't really love any of them. And to be honest, the game should have ended because Dak should have been picked off.
Wow.
And one of those 3 guys who are right there for the 49ers should have just ended that game.
To be honest, the 49ers should have put it away with a couple first downs at the end. The 49ers
totally fair.
Kind of let fair. Them in. But you know that Micah Parsons will come back once they pay him, I guess. Is that the deal?
Is that what he's doing?
I don't know. He had a high ankle sprain September 26th. Where is he?
Why didn't they put him on IR?
Well, because he's not hurt. He had a high ankle sprain. I have a high ankle sprain and go out and play Saturday morning.
Wait, do you think that he thinks he's getting a contract in season?
I don't know what I think he's holding out in part because of contract. Yeah, I mean, everybody does, don't they? I assume that was a given because he keeps denying it to the many questions about it. But I don't know what's going on here. If he does come back, like, he would have made a big difference last night. They had nobody who was scaring anybody on.
Oh, Purdy was running.
Purdy was running
free.
Like crazy. I was thinking about all the Purdy runs. Like, what
big.
If you had a defensive end / linebacker who ran a 4-4 chasing you, knocking the ball away? I just think that this is a general disagreement. I think you're writing off the Cowboys too soon. He's 3-4 in today's NFC. That's not like the end of the season.
Yeah, and you know, if they were playing the Titans coming up and they were playing the Carolina Panthers coming up, I'd be like, all right, well, you know what? Maybe they can get right on this. I don't think the rest of the schedule is really favorable for them. And then there's the on-field part of the Cowboys, and because it's the Cowboys, and they lost last night to the 49ers, and that's why we're talking about it, there's also the off-field component of this too, which is, what do you think? Is this going to be better or worse for them moving forward? You have owner getting into it with radio hosts.
Yeah.
Owner calling out the coach. Coach having to defend himself. You've got Trayvon Diggs. And this is the standard for the Cowboys. So I don't even know if you can blame the guy. But before the locker room even opens for the media. So you go into the locker room after the game. You get like a 10-minute cool-down period.
Yeah.
And then the locker room opens and the media comes in. And they can ask questions. Before the locker room opens, Trayvon Diggs comes out to scream at a TV reporter from Dallas about a tweet that he sent in the third quarter about whether Trayvon Diggs was dogging it on one of the touchdowns, the touchdown to George Kittle. And he said, the TV reporter goes, well, would you like to talk about it? And he goes, why don't we talk about D's and you can fill in the blank. I mean, I get being frustrated, but this is the tone that Jerry sets.
By the way,
And that's, it's totally classless. It's completely out of line.
Yeah.
And it just adds more negativity to a team that's already flailing.
I actually thought the team responded well to Jerry being upset. I mean, that was a way better Cowboys effort than we usually get in San Francisco. They were, in the first half, like, yes, they were losing, but I thought their effort was way higher than
what
the
happened
last...
after halftime.
Well, they just, I mean, San Francisco's got a million weapons and they can run the ball, and Dallas is thin on defense right now. What happened was Isaac Garendo runs like a 4.2. He's awesome. The Niners running back. I just think they lost to a better team last night, and I'm not criticizing their effort. And Jerry's been a circus forever. Like, what's different about this year? If anything, did you think that the Cowboys looked better or worse than they've looked all season? I thought they looked better last night, without a doubt.
So I can't tell how much credit to actually give them for the two CeeDee Lamb touchdowns. Because, again, those were broken plays. So good on you for converting. You did it. But I think the 49ers, you're wondering how they blow these double-digit leads in the second half and in the fourth quarter. I think they got a little too relaxed on defense. A little too relaxed.
Yeah, totally. But they lost 42-10 in the same spot last year.
I know, but that's like the equivalent of garbage time stats. That's what I'm saying. When the 49ers all of a sudden had to make it a game, it was like, oh no, here we go. We got to actually come up with a stop here. And the Cowboys helped them out. But
at least it was a game in the second half. I mean, that was nothing like last year. And last year, the Cowboys were a much better team.
The baby steps is what you're saying?
I didn't walk away from that game saying, wow, this is a poor effort from the Cowboys. They're toast. I was like, this is a middling team that kind of did their best without their best two players on defense. I don't know. I totally read that. I actually was a little bit impressed with their effort. The other thing about the Niners, I'm like, why are you not covering CeeDee Lamb? What's happening here? They only have one play.
The rookies back there, guys are running into each other.
The only player on the Cowboys who ever hurts anybody is CeeDee Lamb. I would put three guys on him, and maybe Kevontae Turpin gets a big broken play, but generally they are a one-man offense. So that's been their problem for 3 years now, and they've never got a wide receiver too. But I thought there was some encouragement. And 3-4, just on the surface, you're right, their schedule's really tough.
Yeah.
But 3-4 on the surface is not dead by any means in today's NFC.
Yeah, I get it. You're not 1-6. But to me, this season feels over. This is funny. You and I see this very, very differently. Yeah. I see the Cowboys season is over. You think this was maybe a, I don't want to say good loss.
I was some encouraging signs. You got to get Parsons back, and he's got to be like 100% Micah Parsons.
Actually holding out because he's hurt, and this is some quiet quit Holden thing, then the Cowboys' problems are 100-fold.
I do think, though, think about from his standpoint, if he's 80% and he doesn't have a contract, do you think that he has an incentive to really get fully healthy? Like, if he had a contract, would he be out there?
Oh my gosh, imagine that.
That's the NFL. That happens probably every week. Guys are making contract decisions.
Yeah, but this is a superstar and someone who we believe is going to get paid. So even if he went out there and got hurt, Dak Prescott got hurt and ended up getting one of the biggest contracts for a quarterback ever. Getting hurt now, I don't know if that necessarily takes you out of the big money contract.
That's probably true.
You just don't, they clear, if this is true and he's actually holding out, well, that just means you don't trust the Joneses.
Holding out is way too strong a word. I think it's a combo. He's like, well, I haven't gotten paid yet. Am I going to go out there at half skill or 80%? Because he has a high ankle sprain, he's probably not able to get off like he used to. And, you know, if it was a playoff scenario, do you think he'd be playing? I definitely do. I mean, what is it? I don't even,
his team needs him, though. I mean, let's not think like it's not like this, the Cowboys have such a lead here, or that they're so good that, he can take his time coming back, or they're so bad that he can take his time coming back because the season, I think the season's over, but, they can't admit that. So they kind of need him. This is like the time when you need your stars if they can play, even if they're not 100%, right?
Well, last night would be a good game to take off, though, because he was in San Francisco. That's a tough game. You might as well bring him back for a more winnable game. That's how I see it. I should work for Jerry. I'm such an apologist here.
Wow.
But obviously, last night was not the perfect situation for Parsons. Because even if you have Parsons, you're in San Francisco at night to a somewhat desperate Niners team. That was going to be a tough game no matter what happened.
855-212-4227. You letting this one slide from the Cowboys? I'm not. I think their season's over. Perloff says he saw some things. Get them back on the right track. 855-212-4227. We got a lot to get to. As always on Mondays, we're going to try to get to every game. But if we're not talking about the game you saw and you want to talk about, give us a call. 855-212-4227. We're trying to you know, blanket the whole country here. And Canada. Good morning, yeah. Canada.
We want to hear from the D.C. metropolitan area at some point as well.
We have the Hail Mary call in every language, every angle, every aspect. EJ, do we have five versions of this call?
I think we're working on four right now.
Four versions of this call. You're going to hear every single one of them. I think we're still getting tape in from Kazakhstan. We are going to have this call in every language possible. That was an unreal play. So we've got that for you. We've got major injury stuff with Jordan Love and the Packers that got some people nervous, I'm sure, and our newest affiliate in Milwaukee. So we say good morning to you guys if you want to call in at 855-212-4227. Perloff's Eagles. Tua was back yesterday. And, of course, a whole college slate to react to as well. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move. All right, Perloff. NBA is back. We're thrilled because it pairs so beautifully with our new obsession, which is Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. It's the best place to get real money sports action when you watch football, the NBA. We're going to have college all in our lives now. College basketball, college football, of course, is in full swing. You got to check out Prize Picks. The app is so simple to use. You just pick two or more players across any sport, then pick more or less on the projection, and you can win 100 times your money.
Can I tell you a harrowing tale? Last yes. night, I have Dak Prescott under 245.5 yards, ends up with 243. Oh, man, you were mentioning the last drive. Thank God he didn't hit any of those passes. Prize Picks even invented the flex play so you can still cash out if your picks don't hit. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Maggie, did you get caught screaming at home over that one?
Yeah, if you couldn't tell, that was Commander's radio.
Yeah.
It's like when it sounds like people are hugging each other and jumping up and down at the same time. That was a lot of fun. It was one of those moments where you're either on your couch or wherever you are and you just sit up like, oh my God, you can't help it.
I screamed a curse word really loud and got in trouble in my house. Both for my daughter and my wife. They're like, we thought there was like a mouse on the ground or something. Just screamed so loud. That was one of the most bizarre games of the season. 18-15 Commanders win. They should have won earlier. Then the Bears should have won. And then the Commanders should have won. And then the Bears should have won. Both teams were flirting with blowing the game the entire time. 18-15. There was a point where deep in the second half where Caleb Williams had four completions on the day. Insane game and great ending.
It was like, you know, this is kind of the spooky season, you know, Halloween and all that stuff. It felt like this game had some kind of weird curse on it, but I couldn't tell for which team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I was like, who's actually cursed here? At first it felt like the Bears, and then maybe it was the Commanders, and then it was the Bears again. And it's like, oh yeah, it was actually definitely the Bears. Because there was, as spectacular as the Hail Mary play was, and again, we've got it from every different angle. You hear it a lot this morning on the show because it was so great. But it was also one of the all-time boneheaded play calls I think we've ever seen. I don't know if,
I don't know if
it was all-time, but like definitely makes the top 100.
The handoff to the lineman?
You are the Bears. Yeah. You're down by one score. You get down to the goal line, after you've been trailing the entire game. You're about to take the lead, and that's the moment when you decide to do a trick play. You try to go back to the days of Refrigerator Perry, and you hand off to a big man, and it just bounced right off of his stomach. They fumbled, and the drive ended at the goal line.
Well, let's thank God for Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, that Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback, saved the day by having an even dumber play by not paying any attention to the play starting on the Hail Mary. So it's funny you bring up that call. Honestly, I think it'll be forgotten because of the Hail Mary.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Perloff's talking about Tyreek Stevenson is on the Hail Mary, and you can see he's actually jawing with the Commanders fans. He has no idea the play has started.
Back to the play.
So Jaden Daniels is running around as he did for like, I don't know, felt like forever, like 10 seconds to let everyone get in position for the Hail Mary. And Stevenson, so he all of a sudden realizes, oh no, the play has started. I better get myself in position. And he ends up being the guy who tips the ball directly to Noah Brown, who has the easiest catch of his life on a Hail Mary.
Two things about the play. One, would you just rush more than three guys on a Hail Mary? Second,
can you send that message to my Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
Because they got burned last week by a Rodgers Hail Mary.
Also, you have to box out on the Hail Mary. Like, it's Hail Mary 101. You gotta basically account for everybody. They did everything possible wrong. It's such a huge loss for the Bears. It's interesting. There are two ways this could go for the Commanders. You could take it either way, in my opinion, and I'm sure you don't disagree. You disagree with this. It was a lucky win, and they're going to come back to the pack a little bit, or B, this is a seminal moment in the elite run for the Commanders. I see that win. I was like, ooh, they are definitely a bit more of a flawed team because they've been blowing teams out. This team, I know Jaden was coming back from an injury. This was a different game.
They've won six of their last seven. They've found a lot of different ways to win. I think the Commanders, this looks legit to me. If Jaden Daniels can stay healthy, and now they got a little something called luck, which they, even if that was lucky or the Bears were out of position or all the different things that led to them winning that game, every team needs a couple of those if you're going to make it a special season. And to be honest, my expectation for the Commanders, if they make the playoffs in this first season, I think everyone is thrilled. Your Eagles look like the toast of the NFC East. I know the Commanders are in first place. Your Eagles now are coming along, and on paper, you guys have tons of talent.
Nobody is thrilled. And if they just make the playoffs and get blown out in the wild card round, that is not a thrilling outcome. I think expectations have risen.
Well, you had the second overall pick last year. You were not a good team.
I know, but listen, before this game, they were scoring 40 points a game. They were just dominating everybody. I know Eberflus and the Bears have a good defense, but I think expectations have gotten higher there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like when you basically, like, your two losses, you scored a ton of points too. Like, you look like an electric offense. Not last night at all.
I think hanging with the Ravens like they did probably raised some expectations because they're a really good team. And yeah, but I still think if you look back on the season, if they do make the playoffs, even if they lose in the first round, I think people say, oh, stepping stone here. Because how often do you even make the playoffs, period, with a rookie quarterback? I know C.J. Stroud kind of turned everything on its head last year, but it's very rare to do that.
It feels like the RG3 season all over again in a sense, and that ended up being an overall disappointment. But they have the Giants coming up and the Steelers, and Giants can't do anything except one thing, murder their quarterback.
Yep.
And the Steelers are even worse. So we'll see. Jaden takes some hits.
He does. 855-212-4227. He's like literally getting treatment on the sideline. Anyway, we've got that Hail Mary call for you 100 different ways. It's like when you order something at a restaurant, it's like, oh, would you like the chicken two ways? Like, we're going to have the Hail Mary call four ways. D is in Portland, though. D is up first here on Maggie and Perloff. You want to apologize to Perloff, D?
No, I want to apologize to Jalen Hurts.
Oh.
I know it's six or four or five games, but he might have turned the corner. I don't know. He played really good these past couple games. And Perloff, you're wrong, bro. Cowboys suck.
Well, they're not great. Okay. Are you an Eagles fan, D?
Yeah, I am.
But do you remember the two games last year? Dak owns the Eagles. Like, he really carves them up every time. It's been like 4 or 5 years of that.
I get that, but what does that have to do? Even if we lose one to them, we're still going to have a better record. Like, dude, that last drive, it was four pass plays, no run plays at all. You still had 3.5 minutes left.
Wow, ridiculous play calling.
No, they were not going to call a run play because they have the worst running offense. I mean, that's their big problem. The only reason I'm not taking the Cowboys seriously is because Zeke Elliott and whatever else they put around them, like, they're the worst running team in the NFL.
Yeah, they are bad. But here's the thing about the Eagles. So they've won three of their, they're 1-3 in a row. They've won four of their last five. And here's what they did. Browns 20-16 held the opponent to 16 points. Giants, they held to 3 points. And now the Bengals holding to 17 points. And that's the most impressive one. You're on the road in Cincinnati. And we can talk about the Bengals. Yeah, their defensive front is not what we're used to seeing. But Joe Burrow's still there. Jamar Chase is still there. And you held them to 17 points. That's pretty good, Pearl.
Their defense has been amazing lately. And I'm going to tell all you guys, keep that same energy with Nick Sirianni. You guys have been giving him crap all season. Hey, when he plays good, give him his props, because I've seen other teams, like, for example, Perlot today. Oh, Cowboys, they're okay. Nah, bro, just keep that same energy when we keep winning. All right, I'm out.
Peace. D, thank you. Appreciate you. Sirianni, I guess 3-0 since he was jawing at the fans? Or no, that was after a win, so they're 2-0.
I mean, this guy was 10-1 to start the season last year. But here's the thing about Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense, like, who is on their defense? Just to start with that, like, if what is that defense? I think the Eagles look great. I've never seen the Eagles, like, control a line like they did yesterday. And I thought the Cincinnati was going to be way better. Burrow looked actually okay. Like, he wasn't terrible. One of the picks was crazy. It was just a bizarre play. I don't know. I'm just not totally there with the Eagles. Sounds like you're getting there.
This was an impressive win. Greg's in Tuscaloosa, wants to take us to the college ranks. Greg, you must have been pleased. Alabama homecoming, and they shut out Mizzou.
Oh, absolutely. I loved it. I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on the Alabama defense. It kind of seemed like they turned the page and got back to the defense that we're used to seeing in Alabama.
Yeah, Greg, the tackling was really good. This is my only thing, though, about this game that they played as a measuring stick.
Yeah.
I don't think you know. Now, they looked a lot better in the second half. Greg, thank you. Jalen Milroe comes out of halftime where it was, I think the score was 13-0. So this was by no means a blowout. And Jalen Milroe was just a man possessed in the second half. But Mizzou lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And their backup was awful. At one point, they went to the third string guy. And the only reason I remember this is they had to put Drew Pine back in the game just to get destroyed a little bit more. So Mizzou was not fielding a competent offense.
Is Drew Pine the guy who left to play lacrosse and came back? Or is that another Notre Dame quarterback?
That was the other Notre Dame. Drew Pine was a Notre Dame quarterback. He's also an Arizona State quarterback as a backup.
Quarterback. Who left to play lacrosse? You guys know what I'm talking about?
That was a guy from like 2 years ago.
Tyler Buckner.
Yes.
But honestly, I think I get full credit because Drew Pine and Tyler Buckner are the same exact person.
Well, also, Notre Dame won the lacrosse championship. So I don't know if he was the missing piece. And by the way, Notre Dame back in the top 10 after putting a real hurting on Navy. Oh, Navy.
And Buckner came back to the team this year as a wide receiver. He's on Notre Dame as well, I believe. Or he's somewhere. Yes. Yeah.
No, yeah, he's there. He's there as a walk-on.
So Dude. Drew Pine and Tyler Buckner are still in college football.
Talk about big man on campus.
Did they play like the late 2010s? When was Drew Pine the quarterback?
A couple years ago.
Anyway, Alabama. Now, it wasn't, and I'm sensing this, enough to get Milroe back in the Heisman conversation, but say they, I don't know how, just blow out LSU, then Alabama's in much better position. That's a big game. That you said test. I mean, they have some tests coming up. If they could get through LSU, then they have a great chance to be in the playoff.
And it's still must win. And now after LSU lost to Texas A&M on Saturday night, which is a great game that we'll talk about, what a change of pace for Mike Elko to go back to his backup quarterback and Marcel Reed. That was just a stroke of genius. Now, they were down 17-7, but it just completely put LSU on their heels. So now it's must wins from here on out, both sides. Manny Rodriguez in with us this morning doing updates. Good morning, Manny.
Good morning, you guys. Football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager, and visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. You guys are talking about the Commanders walk-off touchdown. Well, we have that call en Español as well.
Aguanta Daniels, no tiene con quien. Ahora sí Daniels. A lanzar a lo profundo del terreno de juego. Ahí está la recepción. Touchdown! Touchdown! touchdown de Washington. Touchdown. Está adentro. Touchdown. Commanders. El Ave María funcionó. Apareció el 85. Tras un rebote, Noah Brown se convierte en el héroe de todo Washington.
Well, that was fellow Salvadoran American Moises Linares on the call on Commander's Spanish Radio. And since I'm amazing and bilingual, I have the direct translation.
Yeah, give it to us, man.
The Hail Mary, the final 20 seconds, yeah. He yells, "The Hail Mary worked. Number 85 showed up. After a deflection, Noah Brown is the hero of all Washington, D.C. Enormous, big Commanders."
I love it.
I didn't hear the word Commanders at the end. Did he say it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. You caught it at the end.
That was the English part, so you weren't even thinking about it.
I got lost in the yelling. That's awesome.
That's Moises Linares. And again, those lungs that these Spanish broadcasters, man.
It's got to be is this some type of school that they're all going to, that they're learning this? Because whether it's soccer, whether it's football, I imagine the baseball calls are similar, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Ricky Ricardo does it here for Yankees
but
Spanish.
But ESPN Deportes, growing up listening to it, a lo profundo! It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Unfortunately for the Bears, Caleb Williams, he went 10 for 24, 131 yards through the air. No touchdowns, no picks. DeAndre Swift, 18 carries, 129 yards, one touchdown on the ground in the loss. Guys, it's the first game this century in which both teams score a touchdown in the final 30 seconds.
I don't understand. Is Caleb Williams good?
Yes.
He wasn't good yesterday. We can agree on that.
His scrambling is amazing.
Amazing?
Yes.
I don't know. He's going to be good. I don't think he's great yet.
He's got a way of things are going bad, 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 and then he'll find a way to still make some wow plays when they need to. I mean, they were right at the doorstep there. They should have won this game.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened because I don't know how DeAndre Swift broke out for that long run. Otherwise, it felt like they were going to get shut out yesterday. It really felt like they were going to end up on zero. And if you're a great quarterback, how can you be that ineffective all game?
Well, he's still a rookie on the road.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah, but Jaden Daniels does not look like a rookie. That's what I think. I mean, are we even getting the point? Like, we're comparing who's better. Right now, Jaden Daniels is better, but he's older than him. So I don't know. Would the draft have gone differently? Gosh,
oh,
I can't
boy, are we already asking
that? No, I can't believe I just asked it. Yeah, I mean, I think it would, though.
I don't think so.
I think a lot of the Jaden Daniels stuff, too, is like how sustainable is this running?
With the health.
Right. That's
a big
question.
I mean,
question
as far as arm, though, I mean, Jaden Daniels is definitely ahead of him. I mean, like he could drop a 50-yard pass into a can of corn. I mean, that guy's arm is unbelievable.
It is. I mean, and he wound up for the Hail Mary, and it got there. When I watch Caleb Williams, I'm not like, man, that guy really needs to work on his arm strength.
I just think but accuracy and everything, I think Jaden Daniels is way ahead of him right now. I don't think that's a hot take. I mean, Jaden Daniels was in the MVP conversation for part of the season. I think that's an interesting question. You wonder about the durability with Daniels. But the thing about it, also, I'm not sure Shane Waldron is the right marriage for Caleb Williams. Like, the offense just feels like it's really hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to break, like, three tackles and spin around and then find Cole Kmet.
It's not coming as easy as maybe people thought.
He's working so hard to get these plays, and it was awesome in the fourth quarter, but generally, like, gosh, why is this so difficult?
Well, they also kind of do the thing that normal rookies do, which is they lose on the road and they win at home. I mean, that's kind of one of them. I know they were obviously in
London
England
for the last
for
game, but they won two in a row prior to that at home.
Yeah, and they're 0-3 on the road. It's like it's just kind of classic rookie stuff to me, not red flag stuff.
You're right, not red flag stuff, but he's been good where Jaden Daniels has been outstanding. Even yesterday, Jaden Daniels had some moments and some throws that were like, wow, that guy's good. I understand the durability issues. I'm curious how this plays out. We were talking about they moved that game to 4:00, moved by Eagles, Bengals off of 4:00, moved that to 1:00. Now this is the Commanders and the Bears are a primetime game, or a standalone game.
Life comes at you fast.
What is happening?
You got flexed
the Commanders
out.
And the Bears.
It was Tony Romo and Nance.
I know. And meanwhile, poor Tom Brady was stuck trying to watch a rainy Bills Seahawks game.
Well, he watched a lot of good stuff. Some bad. We'll
a
get
lot
to that
of good
game.
Stuff. What do you
for
mean?
The Bills.
Oh, I thought you meant he had a different game on the TV. Because I don't know where he was seeing this good stuff.
Well, we'll get to that. Seattle really up and down. Can't figure them out. DK Metcalf being out of that game obviously was a huge difference maker. Bills don't have anyone who can hang with DK Metcalf in the secondary. But, Manny, back to you.
A couple more NFL scores. The Lions, they cruise over the Titans, 52-14. The Patriots, they beat the Jets, 25-22. And the Chiefs, they survive against the Raiders, 27-20. To the NBA, the Clippers, they beat the Warriors, 112-104. Steph Curry left the game early in the fourth quarter after suffering a sprained ankle. Curry did undergo an MRI last night, but results are not yet public. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr described the injury as, quote, mild or moderate, close quote. The team is bracing for Curry to miss time, possibly several games. And lastly, in the NBA, after a game after being held scoreless at Madison Square Garden by the Knicks, Tyrese Halliburton, he scores 10 points in a Pacers loss to the Sixers, 118-114. Tyrese Maxey, he scored 45 points in 48 minutes as Perloff's Philadelphia 76ers pick up win number one of the new season.
Thank you, Manny. Clap your hands, everybody.
A lot of minutes.
Philadelphia. There is only one NBA story, in my opinion, that matters.
Of them.
Matters at all today. It has nothing to do with the scores. You read them beautifully, and you give us the news, which is your job. The Dwayne Wade statue.
Oh,
God. We'll get to it later on.
I thought you were talking about the baby monitor situation between Brandon Ingram and Anthony Simons. That was also...
Oh,
geez, Louise.
That was only sports, man, can give us something like that. With the shorthand is that one guy hit a game winner over another guy, and they both have a child by the same woman. Only sports.
And one seemed very happy to remind everybody that he hit the shot over the other guy.
It never gets old, ladies and gentlemen. You want your soap opera? We got it for you right here. And even though the Dwayne Wade statue thing is a bit more of a visual and we are a radio show, we will find ways to accurately describe the absolute mess that is the latest statue for one of our sports heroes. That one's ugly. 855-212-4227. Yes.
I feel like they're all ugly now. Like the average statue that comes out, I mean, to me, the ugliest one was Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously, but they're all bad. What is the deal with these statue makers?
To be honest, if someone now offered a statue for me, I'd be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I can't risk it. I cannot risk it.
All of the sculptors that graduated through Zoom are finally getting jobs. That's what happened.
Like, are you guys like some, are you blind? What was the photo you could have possibly used to get to that?
I grew up with two great statues. The Rocky statue is amazing in Philadelphia, and the Dr. J statue is pretty good, too.
Yeah, where are those guys? Can we get those guys
in? I don't know. Yeah, and then even if the statue's okay, like Kobe, then the stats are wrong on it.
Or Allen Iverson, the miniature. Remember, he has like that like 2-foot statue outside the Sixers
it's
facility.
It's tiny. Yeah, we're just not nailing it with the statues right now. We are not in our statue era. This is not good. 855-212-4227. Lots more football to get back to. We have World Series stuff to bring you up to speed on. Are we crossing one contender off the list after yesterday? We'll tell you next. Megan Perloff. One more time. One more terrible penalty. Yesterday, sometimes Perloff and I just sit in the breaks and talk about all the terrible penalties that we see in a weekend of college football. And it's not like egregious ones like the Vikings and the Rams type stuff with Sam Darnold face mask, going back to that. This is just... You know, getting a delay a game on a 2-point conversion if you're the Jets. All these offensive line penalties for the Colts. I mean, just so many bad penalties.
Did you see that they, I saw on Pro Football Talk, they're going to review whether you can, or they're going to talk about whether you can review face masks after that play.
Yeah, the Sam Darnold rule.
If you actually watch college, because obviously college is even worse than the NFL.
Yeah.
The Ohio State-Nebraska game was pure and total chaos. The officials had no control of the game, made terrible call after terrible call. I was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. They had no idea what to do.
Yeah, that was a crazy game because Nebraska and their freshman phenom quarterback, Dylan Raiola, he's like baby Mahomes. He looks exactly like him, literally, physically. Same haircut, same sunglasses. He's doing like karaoke Mahomes. Had a chance.
Yeah.
To win the game in the horseshoe and threw a bad interception. But just the fact that Nebraska, were they a 2-touchdown underdog, 3-touchdown underdog in that game, had just gotten blown out by Indiana the week before. They had Ohio State on the ropes.
Kind of. I never felt.
They took the lead in the fourth quarter, Perloff. That
don't
happened.
Know. I just feel like, yes, but I never felt like Ohio State was going to lose that game for some reason. Because also, Raiola took massive, massive sacks. Like, gigantic long sacks. They didn't really move the ball. Like, Nebraska did not get a lot of yards in that game. Ohio State should have won that game easily. I don't know what's going on with Brian Day and the guys.
No, this was not an encouraging victory. And by the way, you go to Penn State this weekend. You're in Happy Valley.
Well, then you get into the James Franklin thing. Like, you know how
they turned it on against Wisconsin, who had been playing very well.
But we all know the record against top 10 teams for James Franklin is bad.
Not good. They also have a quarterback situation going on with Penn State, but Ohio State's got a quarterback situation going on. Like,
he's okay. Will Howard's actually pretty good. I don't know how they did not blow out. I don't know what happened. I have no idea.
Yeah, this was tough.
I saw Ryan Day in the mid-game interview said, we cannot run the football. Like, and that, why can't they run the football? They have two great running backs, and their O-line is supposed to be good, and it's just not.
I was wondering, was it a trap game? You know, where they, you're coming off,
definitely.
You had the loss to Oregon, which you obviously have to process a lot, and all the self-inflicted wounds that happened there. And then you got this looming date with Penn State where you're going on the road. Was this just a, did they overlook Nebraska? And they almost paid the price for it.
And you wish that you wouldn't do that coming out of a bye, though. Like, you didn't play last week. You'd think that, okay.
Refocus.
Yeah, refocus, re-energize, like, you know, get guys more healthy. I know they lost the tackle yesterday, too, or Saturday, too.
Yeah. I think the backup went out also.
Yeah. That was discouraging to me.
For Ohio State, sure. Let's head to the phones. 855-212-4227. Back to pros. Ronnie's in Birmingham, Alabama. Big Niner fan. You didn't like what you saw last night, Ronnie.
No, I didn't. It's just two quick questions. I'm going to be real quick out y'all way. I want to know what you guys' opinions. I feel like Kyle Shanahan is kind of losing his touch, and at some point his job is going to be in jeopardy because this is the same coordinator that was with the Falcons when they were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots that blew a lead. Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback, and we were up 7 minutes, and he was throwing the ball. And that interception swung a complete momentum of that. And then this past Super Bowl, we come out the half and go three possessions, three and out, all passing plays. What goes on with his play calling sometimes?
Ronnie, fair point.
Yeah.
We'll relitigate Kyle Shanahan's resume anytime you want, and thank you for the phone call. I don't know if is today the day to criticize Kyle Shanahan.
There was a third and one call Purdy at the end of the game that he probably could have run the ball a little more because they were really running effectively last night. He did do a little Kyle Shanahan. I mean, I think they had almost 500 yards last night. They were just tearing the Cowboys apart. But at the end, he let the Cowboys back in with some play calling. I think he took the foot off the pedal a little bit. The one thing about the story this year is Kyle Shanahan is everyone has partly figured out the Kyle Shanahan offense, right? Because most of the league runs it. And now the defensive coordinators have adjusted. Isn't that what everyone has been saying?
Well, yes, because there's so many Shanahan acolytes who are now spread throughout the entire NFL because all of his assistants keep getting hired. So they all kind of know the secret sauce. And to be fair to Shanahan and maybe John Lynch, that was the whole idea behind drafting Trey Lance. They thought that people were catching up to the offense. They thought, all right, well, now we'll just have the super mobile quarterback, and now no one's going to know what hit him. Turns out Brock Purdy, way better fit, but
also as super
much
mobile.
As Brock can run. I know he's a good athlete out there. By the way, he needs to slide. Can you get someone from the San Francisco Giants or something to come and teach this dude? He has to know. He's going diving head first. Dude, protect your head.
Sometimes the quarterbacks slide and they don't know what they're doing and they feel like they're going to tear up their leg on the slides. But generally, he went head first. I know the play you're talking about, but no one hit him. It was giving himself up.
No, but he just continues to go head first. Anyway, Purdy's legs have become a weapon. Yeah. You're right. I thought what happened with San Francisco, and I think this may have just have been happening in the two games where they blew 10-point leads in the fourth quarter. Both of those were division games. I think the defense gets too lax.
They just lay back too much, go a little prevent mode?
I think it's too much, though. You know, because you let the Cowboys get back into that game with just two big drives, both ending in CeeDee Lamb touchdowns. I think one was 60-yard drive, then a 70-yard drive. I get it. You give up yards for the underneath stuff, but then all of a sudden in the red zone, you're supposed to tighten up a little bit.
For me, it comes out of one thing with this team, and it's special teams. You mentioned 60-yard drive. Why was it a 60-yard drive? Because this stupid kicker kicked it right out of bounds. Every single game, their special teams is putting them in peril of losing. And if they do that in the playoffs, then there's no return to the Super Bowl.
Apparently, Jake Moody is supposed to be back in a couple weeks.
It's not that. It's everything. They just is completely undisciplined on special teams.
You're right. 855-212-4227. A lot of undisciplined play yesterday. See you guys on the phones. Again, we're going to try to get to everything, but if you want to talk about your game, 855-212-4227, college, pro, the World Series, we've got it all, including a megastar who has come under some major scrutiny. Got that for you next. Maggie Perloff.